the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Ouch, wait, I want to really help you to understand where we are in this series, because this will be a new series, and today I'm just going to lay the foundation. It's called Stuck in a Rut. And a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all it is. Is you're living, but you're really not living, you're just existing. You're going through the motions day in and day out. You wake up, you do the same thing, you come home, you watch TV, and you go to bed. And you get stuck, and a lot of us get stuck because we're stuck emotionally. And we don't understand why we feel the way we feel. And for men, a lot of times when we've stuffed all of our emotions, it comes out in anger and rage. And, you know, there's all kinds of dysfunctions that take place with not dealing with who you are. And so this series is about loss and about grief and about how important it is for us to process what we're going through. At the same time, it'll help us to see the sovereignty of God and His glory, because that's really what it's all about. Whatever we experience in our life is ultimately for Him and because of Him. Everything that we should be living for is to know Him and to make Him known. That's why we're here. And so we have experiences that we end up going through that will either strengthen us and change us. They'll either make us better or bitter. And so we need to learn how to process life. This is a 4-week series. At the end of the series, I'm going to preach through the book of Luke. So I would encourage you now to start reading through the book of Luke. I'm really looking forward to that because Luke is one of my favorite gospels. We did John 2 years ago, and John was just an eye-opener. And hopefully as we go through Luke, you'll learn much of what Jesus wants for us as disciples and true followers. But today we're going to talk about the truth about loss, because loss is something that we all experience. And, you know, sometimes we don't realize how much loss we've actually experienced in our life. We go through life and we end up being 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and we've experienced all this loss without realizing the effects it's had on our lives. We go through life and we think we're normal. You know, I mean, you think you're normal, don't you? That's pretty scary, right? When you look at yourself and say, well, I'm normal. No, I don't know. Look, no one is perfect. That's why Jesus came. And so we all have imperfections. And so we really can't regulate what's normal and what's not normal. But I do know this, that loss brings pain, and pain brings grief. Loss brings pain, and pain brings grief. Grief is a feeling of deep mental anguish caused by loss. So when you experience loss in your life, you experience grief. If you don't know how to grieve, you don't know how to experience loss. Now, one of the things that the Jewish people do, and I've talked about this before, that when they lose a loved one, they do something they call sitting shiva. And they sit together for 7 days with all the mirrors covered. They sit in a house, and what they do is they mourn and they grieve the loss of someone they love. They tell stories, they cry, they laugh. And it's a good thing because they're processing all these emotions that have been stuffed down. Now, you've got people in life who feel everything. You talk to them in their conversation and say, well, I feel this way. Well, I feel that way. I feel everything is a feeling. And then you got people on the opposite extreme who say, well, I think this and I think that and I think this. They're rational. So you've got the rational people and you've got the feelers. All right. Neither one is right. It's not right to be all feely touchy all the time. You know, those guys that want to hug you all the time. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying that's not necessarily just the right way. And then you got guys like me who are rational over here on the other extreme. Don't touch me. Don't hug me. You know, I don't like guys hugging me. So that's not good either. You know, I try to think through everything logically. So I'm very rational. But what happens is we have to learn to find the balance in here. And I believe because of the things that we experience in life, we end up not learning how to grieve. And then what we do is we block our emotions. So either you become very emotional or you become unemotional at all, not experiencing or letting that process. Loss can be the loss of a loved one, the loss of a possession, the loss of a career, the loss of an expectation. There are lots of life-changing losses. The loss of your eyesight, the loss of your hearing. There are things, the loss of a child, that we all experience in the form of loss. And grief can cause sorrow. And sometimes those sorrows, you know, are because of what's being done to you or what someone didn't do. You know, somebody made a promise and they didn't keep their promise. Well, there's loss and there's grief for that, you know. Somebody made promise at the altar. They got up there at the wedding and they said, I promised to be faithful. Then they weren't faithful. That's a loss. And if we don't learn to grieve the pain that we feel and the experiences, what we do is we either stuff them all down and then they come out in some other form in life. God has emotion. I know you don't realize, you think, God, how can God? Look, when God speaks, we're created in His image. He talks about being angry. He talks about joy. He talks about peace. Those are emotions. And what God wants to do is He wants to heal us from the inside out. Psalms 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. God wants to fix us. See, the problem is we all want to fix each other. We all want to fix each other. And the truth is the only one who can fix us is God. You can't fix me and I can't fix you. But we have a holy, righteous God who can minister to us from the inside out, who can change us, create in us this Christ-likeness that He desires for us. In order for us to deal with loss, there are certain beliefs that we have to have. And so I'm going to give you a few beliefs. I'm going to list out four of them today in this message. Four beliefs that will lay the foundation for this series. And the beliefs that we need to have will help us to understand what it really means to experience life to the fullest, the life that God called us to. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, how many things is all? This is an all-inclusive statement, right? So when your car breaks down, that's all things. When you stub your toe, that's all things. When you get out of bed and your back hurts, that's all things. So we know that in all things, God works for the good. So God is at work all the time. He never sleeps, He never slumbers. God is at work all the time. And He's working for your benefit. He's working for your good. Do you believe that? Do you really believe what God's word says? That no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through, that God is at work and He's at work for your benefit. Even when it's painful. Even when it's hard. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This is belief number one. That this circumstance, this event will make me better. Because it's making more like Christ. Because when you read verse 29, it talks about being conformed to the image of Christ. You see, God works all things together that He might shape us and make us into the image of Jesus. So no matter what we experience, even when it doesn't turn out the way we want it to, the way we hoped it would, God is shaping us. It's important for us to lay the foundation in this belief that we have to believe that God is for me and He's not against me. That God is working on my behalf. If you don't believe that, then when you face trials, you'll never experience His joy or His peace. You'll be broken inside. And God wants us to come to Him because, look, we live in a fallen world. Life inevitably includes sorrow and pain. When sin entered the human race, it brought death, physical death and spiritual death. With all that it accompanied, with all the ramifications, death or loss in any size affects us. It changes us. Because it causes grief. When you lose anything that you value, that creates grief. And if you don't learn how to grieve, if you don't learn how to move beyond your grief, you get stuck. God has this higher purpose for His people. and we are his people. And he is faithful. God is always faithful. And so his higher purpose is to create us into the image of Christ. And so he uses all these trials and these works, even in painful times, to mature us and to draw us closer to him, that we might become dependent upon him. His desire is that we would lean on him and trust in him. I mean, Proverbs chapter 3, right? Verse 5 and 6. A foundational verse for true believers, because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll do what? He'll guide your path. He'll make your path straight. He will lead you. But your job is to trust in him. In the midst of all your pain and all your hurt, and whatever you're going through. There's a brand of Christianity being sold across America. Come to Jesus and you'll get your family back. Come to Jesus and you can be healed. Come to Jesus and you'll make lots of money. Come to Jesus and you'll never have problems. But that's not real Christianity. That's not following Christ. When I read the New Testament, man, I see the disciples come to Jesus and they suffered. I seen the disciples come to Jesus and they were persecuted. I saw the disciples come to Jesus and float out in the open ocean, be shipwrecked, get beaten with rods, be whipped. I see them suffering for the cause of Christ. But American Christianity says if you've got Jesus, you've got everything you want. And it's not the truth. In 1969, Elizabeth Ross divided up the processes that we call the process of grief, the five stages. She created this after evaluating and researching people while they were dying. So she came up with these, what we call the five stages of grief that people tend to go through. These stages aren't like set in stone. They're not like everybody experiences all these stages when they go through loss. But the truth is, life is filled with loss. The way Jesus put it, John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I told you these things. What things did Jesus just tell him? You got to go back to chapter 13. And you read chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. And then you get to chapter 16. Because from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 16, they have the upper room discourse. They're up in the upper room, right? And Jesus starts chapter 13 by taking off his feet and washing their dirty feet. And serving them and telling them, greater things will I do. And loving on them. And then coming to John 15 and saying, abide in me and I'll abide in you. And then you come to chapter 16. After he said in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then you come to chapter 16 and he says, look, I told you these things. Well, what are these things? These are things that will keep us in him. Abiding, walking by faith. I told you these things. Why? He said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Why? Because this world is full of hard times. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. It doesn't say in this world you might have trouble. In this world one day you'll go through some tough times. It says in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Belief number two is that I can overcome all things because Christ overcame them for me. You have to know that no matter what you're going through, you can overcome. Paul said it this way, we are more than overcomers. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. For he who did not spare his own son, how will he not much more give us all things? I mean, you got to understand that God loves us and that God is working on our behalf and that whatever we face, whatever we go through, no matter how painful or how deep the loss, we can overcome it. But we have to do it in Jesus. You see, you can't pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. You're not going to be able to evaluate your life and say, all right, I got it. You have to learn to trust in him. You have to learn to abide in him. And you know, I've told you this a million times. If I told you once, you will always be going into, in the middle of, or coming out of a crisis in your life. Forever. As long as you walk in this fallen world, this world is broken. But we're here to be the light. We're here to make a difference. We're here to live a testimony so that the world can see His grace in us. That's why we're here. And so I want to encourage you by helping you to understand that there are stages that people go through. And each of us need to recognize those stages so that it will help us deal with our own loss. The first stage that she talked about was denial or isolation. That people deny what they're going through or they isolate themselves from other people. When somebody's dying, like if you have a spouse that is sick and dying, the first stage is denial. Oh, this can't be happening. Maybe the results are wrong. Maybe they made a mistake. You can't be dying. And denial helps people to kind of remove themselves from the reality. Because some people don't want to deal with denial. I mean, with the reality of the pain. So that they deny what's really going on. The second step is anger. That's phase two. So they deny what's really going on. This can't be happening to me. This can't be happening to my wife. This can't be happening to our family. And the second step is anger. What happens is they get angry at people around them. And then a lot of times, they get angry at God. You know, they're angry at their spouse for dying. Why did you leave me? Or they're angry at people because of the choices they make. Why did you do that? And then eventually they get angry at God. And they're like, yelling at God, why'd you let this happen to me? What did I do? Why do I deserve this? Which then moves them into the third stage, which is bargaining. God, please, if you'll let them live, God, if you'll let them live, I'll serve you. I promise I'll serve you. I'll give my life to you. Take me. Don't take my child. God, if you keep my marriage together, I'll do everything. God, I'll do anything. All this bargaining. God doesn't make deals. And once you realize that, that moves you into depression. Depression is heavy. It's the fourth phase, and it's where people become quiet, depressed, sad. Because now they've taken that anger and they've turned it inward. They were angry at everybody. They were angry at God. Now they're angry at themselves. They're angry at themselves for looking like a fool. They're angry at themselves for believing in God. They're angry at themselves for trusting. They're angry at themselves because things didn't go the way they wanted them to. They think they did something wrong. It's probably my fault. This is all happening because of the way I've lived my life. They start blaming themselves and it leads them to a deep depression. Which eventually brings them to what they call the fifth stage, which is acceptance. Where they say, wow, it's inevitable. My spouse is going to die or I'm going to die because this could be something going on in your own life. You know, I'm going to lose my leg. I mean, that's serious loss. I'm going to lose my hands. I'm going to lose my sight. I'm going to lose my ears. I'm going to lose this relationship. Acceptance brings people into the inevitable. They accept what's really going on. And most of the time, once they get to the phase of acceptance, they move forward. Once they realize there's nothing I can do. Now, if you're a Christ follower, acceptance changes everything. Because then you come to a place of surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. And I want to tell you, as a believer, that should always be our heart. That should always be our cry. I mean, you look at Jesus, right? He's on the rock and he's in the garden and he's praying and he's crying out to God and blood is falling from his forehead and it's dripping onto the stone because he knows what's going to happen. He knows the beating and the blood, but most of all, he knows there'll be separation, loss from a relationship that he had been in for all eternity. His relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he would experience separation as God turned away. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was grieving the loss that he was going to experience it before he experienced it. He was crying out to the Father. But he came to a place of acceptance. If there's any way this cup can pass, but not my will. Thy will be done. And that needs to be our heartbeat. That needs to be our joy. That needs to be our purpose. Not my will, but thy will be done in everything. Can you say that in your relationships right now? God, no matter what happens, thy will be done. My relationship with my family, my relationships with my coworkers, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my spouse, God, not my will, thy will be done. I want to follow you. I want to love you. I want to trust you in everything. And I want your will. Because pain brings loss. And loss brings grieving. And we all experience pain. And if you don't deal with your pain, you begin to stuff. And that's my next point here, is that we have to be careful about avoiding emotional extremes. We have to be careful about avoiding emotional extremes because we are people like a pendulum. You ever notice that? We're like this pendulum. We either swing all the way over here and we're all like, yeah, life is great. Or we swing all the way over here and we're like, my life stinks. I should go eat worms somewhere. Nobody loves me. I'm miserable. So we are people of a pendulum. We always swing. We are extremes. I mean, you got churches way over here that all they do is jump, shout, and yell, right? And whoever can yell the loudest, jump the highest is the holiest. And then you got churches over here that do nothing but study, but never touch anybody's life. So in all things, we need to have balance where we are serving and studying. We're loving and giving. It's all in balance. And it's the same thing emotionally. We can't be all the way over here where all we do is feel everything. Well, I feel this way, and I feel that way, and I feel this. And we can't be all the way over here where we're so rational that we're no good to anybody. Because then we shut ourselves off. When we're hurting, there are two extremes that we often deal with. One extreme is to block our emotions. I lived that way most of my life. I'd say up to I was 38 years old, I'd learned to block my emotions. I learned that if I didn't feel it, it wouldn't hurt me. And so I learned to stuff. I was a stuffer. I would stuff my emotions, stuff my emotions, stuff my emotions. And then I was like a Coke bottle. If you shake a Coke and shake a Coke and shake a Coke, and then you finally pop that lid, what's going to happen? All over the place. I would explode. And that's how I lived probably the first 38 years of my life without being healthy emotionally. Even though I thought I was healthy because I was a Christ follower. I thought, man, I'm following Jesus. I love Jesus. But then I would realize that there was these bursts of anger that were coming out of me. I mean, just burst out of nowhere. Somebody would say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I'm like, what'd you say to me? And that was scary. Scary for them, I'm sure, and very scary for me. Because I thought, man, I'm going to rip that person's head off. And that's how I felt in that moment. Like all this rage and anger came up. And I started to ask myself, where's that coming from? God, what's going on inside of me that all of a sudden I feel like I want to rip somebody's head off when you called me to love people. You called me to shepherd. You called me to teach. I'm supposed to be giving my life away, and here I want to take somebody's life. So I started evaluating what I was doing and what was going on and, you know, why that was unhealthy and why I was unhealthy emotionally. And I realized, man, for years that I was just stuffing my emotions. I didn't want them to impact me or affect me, so I just stuffed them down. And then I could just keep going, you know, I could keep going, keep pushing. So when people betrayed me or lied to me or stabbed me in the back, no big deal. So like, doesn't that bother you? Nope. And that was the truth for me in the moment. It didn't bother me because I was stuffing it down. So I didn't feel it. I didn't think about it. I just kept going, just kept pushing through. And I know there are a lot of people in this room that are like that today, that experience stuff and they just stuff it down and just stuff it down. But the problem with that is you stop feeling altogether. And then you don't feel joy. You don't feel sorrow. You don't feel peace. You don't understand God's pleasure. So that's one extreme where you begin to stuff all your emotions down. And it's very unhealthy to block your emotions. The other extreme is to get so wrapped up in your grief that you can't think of anything else. That's what people do when they're compulsive. Like there's this compulsion that all they can think about is their loss. They are so fixated on that pain and on that loss and what happened to them, how their spouse cheated on, or how they lost their kid, or how they lost their job. And they just get so fixated. All they do is think about that loss. They're consumed with it. It just eats them up and eats them up and eats them up. And they can't seem to get beyond it. That's also very unhealthy. We live in a real world where there's real battles. And what we have to believe and understand is the truth, is that we have a spiritual battle that's going on. Jesus said, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? There's this spiritual warfare that is going on, a real battle that takes place for the souls, for the hearts and minds of people's lives. I mean, Jesus himself said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now think about this. Satan, our enemy, can't keep you from going to heaven. But he can sure mess you up while you're here. He wants to take away your witness. He wants you to get you into some addiction or some behavior or something that says, well, that's not a Christ follower. Look at the way he lives. Look at the way she lives. They call themselves Christians, but they never have any peace. They never have any joy. They're always miserable. They're always nasty. They're bitter. They're angry. They explode at people. You see, he's got his own strategy. And he's been working at it for a long time. So, we need to understand that God loves us. And that he is working for our good. And that he wants to set us free. So that we can really experience life. I mean life the way he created us to experience. So that we could be the witness that he created us to be. And we'll never do that without abiding in him and living in his word. Look, this world is painful. And you got two options. You can fixate on whatever your pain is. Or you can stuff it. Or you can bring it to him. You can really learn to bring it to Christ. So that when you experience loss, you bring it to him and you surrender it. You say, Lord, man, this hurts. But you tell me to cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. You said the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you want me to come to you and you want me to lay this down at your feet because I need your help. I need your strength. When I think about loss, I think about Joseph. You guys know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Think about how much time God spends telling the story of Joseph. The story starts in Genesis 37 and it goes all the way to chapter 50. Now, when you read through the book of Genesis, you don't see that much time given to one person. But this story is important because we can all relate. Joseph, chapter 37, he's a young kid, right? He's ambitious. He wants to serve God. And he's his father's favorite. And he has this dream. And he shares this dream with his brothers who begin to hate him, despise him. They're jealous of him. They're envious. And so what do? They throw him in the citron, this big pit, and they're going to leave him to die. But instead of leaving him to die, Reuben, his oldest brother, is pleading with him, don't. Man, we can't kill our brother. And then some journey guy, these guys who were on this journey come by, and he's like, let's sell him. We'll sell him. We can at least make some money off his life. So they sell Joseph into slavery. He's a kid. And they go dip his coat in blood and they bring him back to a father and say, a wild animal destroyed our brother. And they weep and they mourn and they act all, oh, it's so sad. And Joseph, man, he goes into Egypt and he's sold to Potiphar and he's a servant. But then he's attacked and lied about. I can't think of anybody who's experienced more loss than Joseph. Because he lost his brothers, he lost the love of his father, he lost his family, he lost his home. And then he gets sent into Egypt, right? And he's in Egypt and he gets lied about. He says, he tried to sleep with me. And so Potiphar throws him into prison. He's living in prison. For the first 15 years, his life was nothing but abuse. And then he gets to be servant to Pharaoh. 20 years he spent on this journey. The last 5 years, maybe the last seven, he's sitting in Pharaoh's court. But if you were to ask him during those first 13 years, after being rejected by his family, rejected by Potiphar, lied about, abused, sent to prison, how great his life was, I think it was wrecked. I think it was filled with sorrow and pain, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept his eyes on the Father. And God was with him in everything he went through. I had never read about somebody experiencing so much life, but so much loss. But through it all, he was solid. And it seems like for us, if we have one loss, one bad experience, it just breaks us down. I think we need to learn what Joseph learned. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And I think we need to realize that in this world, we're going to get hurt. And in this world, there's going to be lots of pain. But what you meant or the devil meant for evil, God means for good. Listen to me. God can take your tragedy. He can take your pain. He can take the hurt. And he can turn it around in your life to make you more like Christ. He's not going to make it all go away. Joseph didn't get back those 20 years he lost. But he was reunited with his father and his brothers. You can't get back what you lose in this life. You can't. So you have to learn to process your emotions properly and learn to deal with loss. Because if you don't learn to deal with it, it'll eat you up. It will come out in some other form of addiction or hostility. And so one of the things we must learn to practice is the words of Joseph. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Now, I want you to do a little mental processing with me for a minute. I want you to think about your greatest loss. I want you to really think about your greatest loss. Because we've all had different loss. You know, loss of your father, loss of a relationship, loss of your house, loss of your contents, loss of a child. We've all had different loss. And life is filled with lots of losses. So what I want you to learn to see is that no matter what we experience, we know that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign over all things. That God allows all things. That nothing happens in heaven or on earth that he doesn't know about or even permit. And this is a tough theology. That is a tough theology, but it's true. Because if you don't believe that, you swing aimlessly over the abyss of unbelief and uncertainty. Because either God is completely in control or he's not. Either he is sovereign over all things or life is about chance. And if God is really sovereign, then what you are going through right now is a part of his plan for you. And he's going to use that to strengthen you, to change you, to shape you. In our little devotion this morning, we were talking about trials. And all of us go through trials. Man, we have relationship conflicts, we have circumstances at work, we have all these events in our life, trials. And God allows those trials to change us. And that's why James says, consider it pure joy. Why? Because you know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, is part of his plan to shape you and change you. Look, I'm convinced that you want to be more like Jesus. I'd say you're here this morning because you want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. And the only way I'm going to become more like Jesus is through the trials and pain and suffering in life. And there's a battle that goes on in my head and in my heart, just like it does for you, because we like comfort. We like easy. We don't want trials. We don't want conflict. We want everything to always be good. We want a better job with more money, with a better looking spouse, with nicer kids. But we don't get that. You always, and it's the nature that we have, which is sinful, to want more instead of being content with where you are. And I'm just trying to be real. So I wanted to lay out some questions for you to wrestle with, to really think about this week. If you think about the worst loss that you've ever experienced, can you look back and see any good? Because that's what I would encourage you to do. Encourage you to look for the good. To look for the good in the loss. To see, did any good come out of this? To ask yourself, did it draw me closer to God? Did this loss in any way draw me closer to God? Will it help you or help me to help anyone else? Did this loss change me in any way where I can help somebody else? Because the Bible says that God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our distress that we might comfort others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. A part of experiencing loss is so that we can help other people go through loss. And do you have more compassion for others because of your loss? I want to encourage you to think about those things and wrestle with those things and to really come to a place where you understand, look, God uses everything in our lives. You know, when Isaiah was writing about Jesus, he said in Isaiah 53:3, he said he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. So if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to grow emotionally, spiritually, mentally, we can't skip over sorrows. We can't bypass them. We'd like to, but it's through these pains and through these losses that God wants to make us healthy. It wasn't until I came to grips at the age of 38 with all the loss I'd experienced. I made a journal, and that's what I did. I sat down, and I started thinking of all the things I'd lost in my life, as far back as I could remember. I thought about my family. You know, you had this idea of the perfect family. Well, I didn't have that. So there was loss in what I had and what I thought I should have. There was loss in my relationships at a young age. There was loss in things that I thought I deserved and didn't get. And I made a journal of all the things that I felt like I had lost in my life. And then one by one, I brought them to God and I surrendered them. I said, God, these are all the things that I feel like I've lost in my life. And I know you don't owe me anything because God doesn't owe anybody anything. But I want to make these right emotionally. Never dealt with any of it. I've always just stuffed it down, and just kept going. So I want to take each one of these things and I want to bring them to you. And I'm telling you, I cried for about 2 hours. I did. I bawled like a baby over the things that now, they seem funny to me now. But it was like things that I had really hurt over that I'd never dealt with. And I brought them to God one by one, confessing my failure to acknowledge them, my failure to deal with them, and saying, God, I want to be healthy emotionally. Because I want to make a difference. And you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And I want to reproduce Christ in my life so that I can share that and reproduce that in others. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So you got to dig down. You got to look inside. You got to deal with this stuff. Suffering is a part of the Christian life, and it's a blessing. I'm going to close with this verse, and then we're going to have communion. Because I want you to understand that suffering is a blessing, not a burden. Paul said to the church at Philippi, "For it has been granted to you." What does granted mean? Given, right? It's been given unto you, blessed unto you. It's like a benefit, right? So it's a benefit. It has been granted unto you on behalf of Christ. Now, this is because you have a relationship with Christ. It has been granted on you because you have this relationship with Christ, not only to believe on Him. So first, hey, it's been granted. Even your believing is a gift. You believe that? That believing on Christ is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you earn, not something you worked for, not something you did. It's a gift. It has been granted unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Now, I doubt any of you are going to be sawed in two this week or have your hands chopped off for Christ. I doubt that's going to happen. But I do believe that you will suffer for Him, in the sense that He is going to shape you through your suffering. That He will use it in your life. Because He desires that you become more like Him. He wants me to be more like Him. He wants us to grow in Christ's likeness. And if we walk around this world numb emotionally, we'll never change. If we just stuff everything, we won't experience the fullness of what God wants to teach us. And if we don't trust in His sovereignty, you see, you have to believe that God is in control. And you can't believe that once you get to it. You got to believe that before you get to the crisis, before you get to the trial. You got to believe that He owns it all. That whatever He's allowing in my life, He's allowing it for a purpose. Because God is a God of purpose. And whatever He does for His glory. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery for a purpose. Whether you believe it or not, you are here today for a purpose. Everything that happens in your life, God has purpose written all over it. Because He wants to change us and grow us. So, I'm going to pray that as we think about our losses this week, as we experience them, as we deal with them, that God will help each of us to get healthy emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. That we'll learn how to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. That we'll learn how to respond to God's grace by surrender. Because there are going to be things that are going to happen in your life that, man, they're going to be tough. But your job is to surrender. Your job is to trust Him. And we're going to take communion. And if you've got issues towards somebody, if you've got sin in your life, you need to repent of that sin. You need to turn from your sin and be right with God. You can't live in sin and live in the light. You can't be in the darkness and in the light at the same time. You're either in the light or you're not. You're either walking with Him or you're not. You're either abiding or you're not. And if you're not, do something about it. Just say, God, forgive me. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us unto all unrighteousness. So all you got to do is, God, forgive me. I don't want to live like this. I want to run to You. I want to hold on to You. Forgive me for the way I spoke to my spouse. Forgive me for the way I treated my kids. Forgive me for the things I've thought about You. Help me to come to You in surrender. Lord, I want to come to You, Father, and thank You for Your grace. Because I know that without Your grace, God, there's no hope for me. I'll never become more like You. I'll never love more like You. I'll never serve more like You. I need Your grace so that I can love like You loved, so that I can serve like You serve, God, so that I can give like You give. so that I can be a living witness, God, for your glory. And I'm praying for all my brothers and sisters here right now. God, that you would open up our hearts and our eyes, that you would help us all to be healthy spiritually and emotionally. God, to deal with our stuff, to bring it before you, to make it right. Lord, I love you. And I know you love us. And I pray, God, that you would help each of us today to walk with you, to be real with you, to love you the way that you love us.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.